CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We want to just encourage you once again, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. You know, many of us have been reading our Bible. We've been talking about end time prophecy. I think we're beginning to see it actually fulfilled. Now, this is going to be interesting, what's going on in the world right now, because if Russia gets involved with Iran and a move against Israel, boy, I'll tell you, I think we're much closer than we ever dreamed. Number to call today is 8888-ASK-CSN. As we set this time aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? So if you got a question you'd like to ask us, hey, we're here for you. And especially today, we have with us Brad Dacus, attorney at law. So if you have a legal question you'd like to ask, hey, it won't cost you $500 an hour. You can talk to Brad directly here from Pacific Justice Institute, representing people like you and me against unfair laws and practices. Hi, and welcome, Brad.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you, Mike.
Brad, since we talked last, it seems that the world's gone mad.
Yeah. You know, it seems that way, I know, but the reality is what has happened in, with regard to Israel and Iran is something that I've been waiting for, expecting to happen. I thought this was going to happen 6 months ago, 12 months ago, but it looks like Israel waited till the very, very end when they couldn't wait any longer. I think this is something, obviously, they've been very well planned, not just in terms of militarily, but strategically, and how they, took out the defensive measures of Iran, took out their scientists, their top generals. And I think, frankly, I think Israel is setting the stage for potential coup or overthrow within Iran, because the overwhelming clear majority of the people in Iran do not like their government. Roughly 60% are pro-Western, pro-American. This could be a huge shift potentially in the right direction. Although conversely, after this thing is over, it doesn't take long for China or Russia to provide nuclear missiles for Iran. That, of course, could change the picture completely.
You know, it's interesting, because not only do we see unrest there, but we see unrest in our own country with this No Kings movement tomorrow. Florida said they riot and they cause problems, they're going to shoot them. I was shocked. I go, man, getting tough with these guys as they burn our cities. And of course, Democrat Gavin Newsom objecting to the military coming in. When the L.A. Police chief said, this is out of control, we can't control it. So Trump then brought in the military to control it. And then Newsom objects. Now, I was watching a lot of commentaries on this, and they said, what governor would object from somebody coming in and keeping them from burning one of your major cities down in your state? And it's amazing to me, Brad, there is something horribly sinister with these people. Your thoughts? You're an attorney, and again, when we see this kind of wholesale anarchy, and by the way, I saw the Russian flags, the old hammer and sickle flags from the failed communist government in Russia, being waved in these protests. I was pretty taken back that this is not only a riot; it's not a protest at all. But right. It is a riot, and they're organizing these. This is well organized. Right. You know, how is it that during the Palestinian, uprising that we saw here in America on the college campus, they all had the same color tents. They all had the same exact color, a same size flag, the Palestinian flags. They all had the same size, mountains to the sea, all with the same lettering on it. This is well organized. Now, I don't know whether it's Soros, Communist Party, the Democrat Party. I don't know who's doing this, but this isn't just, hey, man, like we're going down to the college for a love-in fest, you know. No, this is well-organized, and I think this King's movement is as well. You know, it's funny they didn't say anything about a former president that couldn't tie his shoes, but your thoughts, Brad, you're an attorney.
Yeah, first off, it is clearly organized. You had a truckload of masks being brought in, it's of shields being brought in to Los Angeles. It was extremely very well organized. This is not like a voice of the people. People were being paid. People, when gentleman was interviewed, how he was approached to be paid $200 an hour to be out there and oppose ICE in Los Angeles. So it's very paid for, orchestrated. President Trump has every right to activate the National Guard, the California, from California to the National Guard. That's his right to do that. John F. Kennedy did the same in Arkansas when the governor Wallace at the time decided to prevent the enforcement of the Brown versus Board of Education 2 case, where they said, no, we need to allow blacks to be able to use go to the same school as whites. And the governor said, I'm going to resist it. And he had his National Guard people ready to go on his side. And JFK just said, OK, I'm activating them. They're now serving under me. And everything just fell apart. Well, in a good way. Well, this is similar right here. We're talking about something even much more dire than that. We're talking about national security. We're talking about people engaging in not just adamant, uncooperative behavior. We're talking about violence. We're talking about looting of stores and fires. And so I think that he's very much in line. As far as Governor DeSantis of Florida, what he said with regards to, says, look, if you throw bricks, throw cocktails, we're going to shoot you. We're going to kill you. Just expect it. That seems sort of harsh on his face, but when you look at what he said, you throw bricks.
That's attempted murder.
Cocktails, they blow up. Attempted murder. He is absolutely correct. And I believe that's great. He gave prior notice. That's in Florida. They've got law enforcement that understand what their responsibility is. California's sometimes been sort of stop and go and a little bit of too much of a give and accommodation for criminals. I think that's going to come to an end. I think the American people are tired of it. So I'm looking forward to, and I think in the end of the day, what I predict is we're going to see more and more arrests, and people are going to discover, oh, shoot, I'm actually going to be prosecuted. I'm actually going to spend time behind bars. And I think as we do that across the country, particularly in those areas where the National Guard has been activated and the military or the Marines, that we're going to see a major pushback against this kind of chaos, which is what is being attempted against this country.
Amen. Well, we got some real issues and much to pray about. We want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, hopefully in the second part, about what the Bible says. It appears in Ezekiel 39, in this Russian, Iran, Persia, Libya, the Balkan states, Ethiopia, comes against Israel in the last days. It appears that there's some kind of a nuclear thing going on. Now, whether it's a neutron bomb, I don't know. But Zacharias says this is the plague that comes against them, that their eyes consume in the holes in their sockets and their tongues in their mouths before they hit the ground. Now, that's the exact effect that a neutron bomb would have, and it happens on the hills of Israel. So whether Israel has cleverly put these in place or whether it's something that the enemy does, we don't know. But the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 39 that when they find a body, they are told not to touch it, but put a flag by it, and professional grave diggers will come, pick up the body, and bury him. And this is really follows the manuals of the United States as well. In a biological or a nuclear exchange, you don't want to touch the bodies for the biological issue or the radiation issue. So it's really taking on different dynamics now, Brad. And so again, I tell everybody everywhere, work for the night is coming when no one can work. Let's go to the phones. 8888. Ask CSN is the number to call. We have Nick on the line from Meridian, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
I know you guys have talked about this before, but I have a transgender coworker that is wanting people to call her a him. And obviously I don't want to do that. And my company said they investigate people that don't comply with that. So, and I just wanted to get some insight, you know, what I can do about that.
Well, Nick, I'm so glad you called today. And again, this is why we have Brad on the program with us, to know what our legal rights are. And of course, the general consensus is just call them by their name, by their last name. You know, but Brad, your thoughts, how do you deal with this? Because, you know, if you don't comply to their likings, you can be fired. And then that opens a whole nother world, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. So the employer is not the government. It's a private sector employer. Is that right?
It's a caregiving facility. So I don't know.
Okay. Probably a private sector entity. And so here's how it works. You have a right to the free exercise of your religion, but that applies to the government employers of employments. For that is the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause applies to government employers. But you have something else. You have Title VII that applies to all employers, and that requires employers to reasonably accommodate your sincerely held religious beliefs. That means that means when you make it clear to them your religious objection, then they have to sit down with you, make a good faith effort to try to work it out and find some way to accommodate your beliefs and yet still meet their interests or what they say or claim are their interests, which is to further gender confusion and gender distortion among their employees, which is effectively what they're doing when they say this, as far as I'm concerned. So if you're at this point now where it's very clear where they stand and you don't want to compromise, I don't blame you, because to me it's blasphemy to call a male a female or a female. It's about against the creator. If Jesus was standing right there, it would be terrible. Of course, and here's the good news. Jesus is standing there because he doesn't leave us. So we need to be careful what we say and what we do. So here's what I would do. I would put in writing your sincerely held religious belief, cite scripture. You know, here's the two elements. You always want to cite scripture, and you also want to be sure and put how you've prayed about it. You feel led by the Holy Spirit. You feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. Whatever is appropriate not to do this, to call someone a female, a male, or female, a female, is blasphemy against the creator. Whatever however you want to word that, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Put that in writing, and then also say how you are willing to meet him halfway. So say, look, I don't want to insult anyone. I don't want to offend anyone. So I will not use pronouns at all with regard to this person. And I will refer to them by their last name. So as not to insult them by referring them by their first name. Some people say, I just can't do the pronouns, but I could do the first name, because the first name is sort of generically male, female. Sometimes it's Pat or Chris, you know. But it depends on where you're at. Whatever it is, put what you would be willing to do and that you would appreciate, you know, a reasonable accommodation of your sincerely held religious beliefs. Put that out in writing. You can email it to your supervisor. If you want us to take a look at it, we'll be happy to look at it as well without charge. We never charge for our legal work. But that's what you need to do. And then they need to reasonably accommodate you. And I'll tell you, there's a good chance you may be fired. And if you are fired after you've done what we've prescribed, then where? What state are you in? Where were you calling from?
Idaho.
Okay. Idaho. Okay. So we have a great attorney in Idaho, a full-time attorney, and a great office there. So, you know, I'm sure we could be more than happy to represent you without charge if you do what we say you need to do to maintain a strong case. Just go to our website, pji.org, to learn more about, you know, laying claim to your convictions under Title VII. And if you want to talk to our Idaho attorney and have her take a look at what you've prepared before you send it, that'd be fine too. And just call them. Our main number, 916-857-6900. You can ask for the attorney out of the Idaho office. And Catherine, she's, that's her first name, and just ask for her, and you know, they'll be happy to connect you, and then you can email her your letter.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Nick, stay on the line. If you like, send you out books and DVDs, but I would do that because, again, you don't want to find yourself wishing you'd done something different. So, yeah, I would listen to Brad's advice. I hope that helps. Let's go to Scott in California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I called in because obviously you have Brad there today, and my wife and I were kind of dealing with an issue of we believe that we may have been scammed. I mean, the company had come in and done some work and forwarded us over to this loan company, but all the work they did was unlicensed and operational under like three different contracts or license numbers. And they weren't there on the site. They didn't keep in contact with us throughout the process. And now it's kind of like it's not a fly by day, a fly by night, but after reading some things, I mean, they were trying to ask for our banking and routing information. Is there anything here in California that we could do to kind of, you know, prosecute? I know it's kind of like we don't want to. My conscience is like, I know I leave it to God and they'll be judged, but like if you feel you've been scammed and they have, you know, this fraudulent activity, you want to obviously expose the darkness.
Right.
Sure, because other people are getting burned. Yeah, Brad.
Yeah, you don't want to be silent because then someone else is going to be taken advantage of. There's people out there like that, and I know I've experienced some unfortunate situations too. Oftentimes, when people are flaunting their religiosity and their Christianity, I learned to pray with one eye open sometimes when it comes to transactions, but. Some things you can do is first you can report to the Better Business Bureau. You can also call the Department of Consumer Affairs in California. You know, that's definitely a possibility. If it's a contractor, which is what I think you're talking about, like a building contractor or along those lines, right? Hello?
And they offered us pretty much a to do work on our property, and okay. You know, they moved forward with that, and they were supposed to be licensed in several areas, but those people were not present.
Yeah, and then there's the Association of Building Constructors that you can also contact as well. I remember once I was getting an air conditioning unit put in, and I could tell that. Someone who knows me looked at it and says, wait a minute, he's got the wrong coil size for this. He's doing this wrong. And I called that agency and they pounced him and said, you've got to do things right. You got to replace this. You got to do this. And they really made things right. And this person had been doing this to other people as well. So that's another avenue to take. Those are two things that I would do if I were you. Now, as far as a civil lawsuit, to recapture any money taken wrongfully or damages, that's a totally different picture that you need to have your own attorney, potentially if you want to go down that route. But those are some things that you might want to look at.
So I hope that helps, Scott.
Yeah. What was the one you said to Department of Consumer Affairs? You can make a complaint through them.
Yeah.
As well? I was trying to.
Yeah. Yeah, California Department of Consumer Affairs, and then you also have the Better Business Bureau, and then also the Association of Builder Contractors. I think is what's called it's ABC. You want to also check in, report it to them as well, and they were very, very, very helpful to me. I know in years ago when I called on them, it was very, very helpful.
Okay, so I hope that helps. Go ahead,
Scott. The whole thing is, we were when I was reading through the contract that my wife had signed, it basically said they had a lien on our property, and So I'm not familiar with any types of liens, but I wasn't aware that there was going to be any lien against our property because it was a financed company that was going to be paying this company, and that's kind of where the situation went south, and it's kind of that's why like I don't know any of this lingo.
Well, if you've paid them for what they did, then there can be no lien. There should be no lien against your property. That liens against property are when there's an outstanding debt that has not been paid, and that can either be via contract or can be via an action, a remedy after a legal action is brought for lack of payment. So there shouldn't be a lien unless you are still owing something on it. And that could have been in the contract to have a lien on your property for something that was financed potentially. That's not unusual. So you might want to talk to an attorney. If you go to our website, pji.org, we have private attorneys, and they charge for things that are not related to what we do. But you can check that out. What part of California do you live in?
Southern California. But,
yeah,
I think people are coming out from LA.
Yeah, two attorneys I think come to my mind are that I highly respect are Bill Cunningham. You can get his information on our website, Bill Cunningham, and Mark Wilson. I think those are two that I would recommend that could possibly help you with what you're talking about.
Hope that helps, Scott.
Okay. That sounds good. What is, I guess last question, what is it exactly that you do specialize in? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Religious freedom. Very broadly, religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, the sanctity of human life. So that's what we do. We defend churches, people in the workplace, employees, people in kids in schools, parents' rights, people are doing evangelism and in the marketplace, in the public square. That's what we deal with. Anything deal with their faith, convictions. So we're very broad in what we handle. We do it all without charge. We have 280 cases right now in active litigation, coast to coast, 36 offices, coast to coast. And we do all our work without charge. We're a nonprofit ministry. And if anyone wants to get more information about or keep up with our work or learn more about what their rights are, we have great free resources in our free e-newsletter at pji.org, pji.org, pji.org.
And you'll be able to get the information awesome. That you need. So, Scott, sounds good. Again, stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. But I think you got some good advice there that'll help you get what you need to get the ball rolling. Let's go to Primo in Bakersfield, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike.
Hi.
I got a question.
How can we help?
I'm asking, when we as believers we pass away, are we with Jesus or are we asleep and waiting for him to come back?
Very clearly, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so when we die, our spirit's released and we go to be with the Lord. Now, proof text is, of course, in 1 Kings, we have Elijah praying for a little boy who had died, and it says his spirit returned to him. It does not say his spirit woke up. When Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, when Jesus got there. It's noteworthy that he went and he said, she's only sleeping, but she was dead. And the Bible says that he prayed for her and her spirit returned to her. So very clearly, it leaves at the moment of death. Now, your body, your shell, yes, it dies. That's why the Bible uses the term fall asleep sometime, because we don't experience death the way the world does. Our body, our shell does. It dies, and it's going to get resurrected someday with a glorious new body. But your spirit is with the Lord. And the Bible says when the rapture comes, moment twinkling of an eye, those that are alive will be transformed. The dead in Christ, though, rise first. They get their new resurrected body as we will rule and reign with Christ here on this earth for 1,000 years. You're going to need a body to do that. I don't believe anybody in heaven right now is lacking anything because they're in a spiritual world. But when we come back to this material world, we're going to need a body. Paul says we're not exactly sure what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. And so I believe that's so important to understand. Absent from the body, Paul says, present with the Lord. Of course, Jesus backed this up as well. When the rich man and Lazarus died, it didn't say they laid around in a cool grave waiting for resurrection day. That is completely false teaching. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the rich man ends up in Sheol in the torment side. Lazarus ends up in Abraham's bosom, the comfort side. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I always like to point to Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And he's there on the cross. And there's the two robbers, and one of us complaining, get us down, and the other one says, hey, don't you know this is Jesus? You know, he doesn't deserve this. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a promise one of the robbers, criminals on the cross had. I think it's something we can be assured of as well. He'll never leave us or forsake us.
Amen. Coming up on a break, we'll have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week. What a week it's been. Boy, I'll tell you, Brad, the news changes so fast right now, you can hardly keep up with it. And again, we, as the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so important in the days we're in. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Primo Bakersfield, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Brad, you were saying.
Oh, yeah. As you know, it's really very present in Luke chapter 23. And I love the clarity of it in verse 43. I'll say it again. It's like there's two robbers on the cross. One of them is complaining, saying, you know, can't you save us? And the other one, interestingly, he says, I'll start here in verse 42. It says, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And we're actually verse 41 says, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42, and it was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And then verse 43 is interesting. And then Jesus, so the robber is saying, remember when you come in your kingdom, like in the future. But Jesus says something really powerful. He says, and he said to him, Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Two things, three things. One, it's today, which is immediate. You're going to be here. Number two, you're going to be with Jesus. And number three, it's going to be in paradise. And so that's an incredible promise. If he can give that to a robber who brings no religiosity to the table, but simply a heart of confession and repentance and recognition of Jesus, that's something that any of us should be able to rely upon. He doesn't say, because you've been such a good, really great person, you don't have to wait. No, it's very clear. And I just love that kind of these great demonstrations of the depth and breadth of God's grace and promise that we can count on.
Amen. Primo, I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, it does. And I thank you very much.
Well, great. I'm glad. Stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, as we always do for all of our callers. You stay online, we'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Daniel, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hello, you guys. Hi, Mike and Brad, and I appreciate all your work you do. But that guy that was talking about the contractors, save them a lot of money, because all they have to do is go to the state contractors board, and they usually have a recovery fund for residential. And anybody that's not a contractor or something like that, they go after them. They got the power. They got the attorney generals and all that. And you just got to go make a complaint. They'll go over there, they'll find them, and they'll do all the work for them. And then sometimes, like in Nevada, they got a recovery fund. And usually, once they get the person and all that, they'll dip out of that fund, and they'll pay the person whatever it needs to be to do it right and fix it. And then they'll prosecute the other people.
Yep, and that's exactly where I went, and that's exactly what they did. So I gave the wrong phraseology, the wrong term for it, but you're absolutely right. The State Contractors Board, that's what you need to do. So thank you for giving that clarity. You're absolutely right, and it's there for everyone, and it's simple and it's easy, and you don't have to be a lawyer or, you know, just you contact and make your complaint, spell it out. Sometimes, you know, attach whatever documents you need that are related to it, any contracts or anything like that. And they're very aggressive. They do a great job.
Amen. So, Daniel, I thank you. Did you have a question you'd like to ask?
Oh, no, I just want to thank Brad, because, you know, the $500 Lord, I think the only ones are Brad, what Brad does. The rest of them, I don't know, they're worth $500, but every Brad and what they do for us, I think they're worth every penny of it.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. Very, very, very gracious. Thank you.
And we're very gracious and grateful for Brad, his ministry, and again, representing us. So good. Thank you again, Brad, for doing that. Daniel, thank you. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs for calling in. Appreciate your heads up on that. Let's go to, let's see here. Joaquin in Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hello, guys. How are you guys today?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I called in because of hearing about Brad and you guys. And I, you know, a long time, I've been listening to you for a while, and you guys are doing great things. So anyways, during the pandemic, my wife and I had been traveling partly with work and not throughout the United States. We were in January 6, 2021. We were in Washington, D.C. For the, you know, President Trump Stop the Steal rally. And we saw everything that was going on. I mean, it was very evident what was going on outside of the Capitol. What we'd call Antifa was clearly doing things and that were and you know, encouraging the crowd and stuff. We did see FBI agents coming out of the crowd and going in, retreating into the Capitol with the police. And we did go inside. My wife and I did go inside for a moment to see what was going on in there. And of course, the same people that were doing the stuff outside, inside were throwing stuff off the shelves and stuff like that. At that time, my wife and I left. Okay. Not thinking that we had done anything wrong. I actually posted a few things online and stuff about it. My son and his wife was with us when we went. Well, last year, the FBI actually showed up at my wife's dad's house, my father-in-law's house in Alaska, and raided his house looking for us. Wow. They never think to us. They know where we live. Me and my wife are okay. We live in Chehalis, Washington. Currently we're homeless. I'm not sure if that's part of the reason why they never showed up here, but when we got the call, I mean, her dad's a Christian man who lives in Alaska. He does own guns and things like that, and that's where it seemed to be their main mission, was taking pictures of all those things and stuff. But, you know, we're not looking for anything. All we're trying to do is just – I can't believe what's gone on. So, anyway, is there anything –
Brad, I'm glad you're on the program today.
Yeah, so you're homeless, so I can see why they didn't – track you down, and it's they're investigating. They look to your next of kin, where your dad's, you know, living. Maybe you were there, so they're investigating there. You know, I assume they didn't, you know, hurt your dad, hit him, or nothing like that, right? They were investigating, and was there any? I can say this, that. You know, the FBI does that. The former FBI, I like to distinguish the present FBI from the former FBI. The former FBI was very tyrannical, to be blunt.
Corrupt.
They were treating wonderful people like criminals, putting them behind bars without proper due process. And I'm just glad that, number one, the FBI has been changed and is being transformed to what it needs to be, which is a respectable law enforcement institution. And then also the fact that President Trump stepped in and issued the pardons against those who were so unfairly prosecuted. Wonderful, God-fearing, patriotic, peaceful Americans. It's and I just, you know, I'm hope that we're going to see, I think we'll see the FBI moving forward, arresting criminals and violent people like we'll see exhibit this Saturday. I think we'll see arrests throughout the country. I think the FBI will be there along with other law enforcement. I'm really sorry to hear what happened to your dad. This was a dark time in our nation's history with under the former administration, under the Biden administration, what happened. And I hope America realizes it and supports those in the future who respect law enforcement as it was intended.
Yeah, we know the FBI does lie. They said that Hunter Biden's laptop was a Russian plant. In fact, they knew all along that it was not.
Correct.
And yet they lied to the American public to throw an election. Pretty dark people, and not a good thing at all. And but the new CIA, I believe, and FBI, they've really worked hard to go through and get them. And a lot of these people that were practicing these things are not off the hook, are they, Brad? It sounds like Panetta's going to go after some of these that were really abusing their power. And it sounds like maybe they may be on the other end of the justice on this one.
Yeah, Pineda, he's not a wimp. He's a strong leader for the FBI. People need to understand that it takes time for investigations. I know the Department of Justice is they're investigating improprieties and actions under the former administration, not for the sake of politics at all, but for the sake of justice. And I do believe that we are going to see actions brought against some of these individuals for their corruption of and abuse of powers. But it's going to take a while. We need to be patient.
So hope that helps.
It really does, guys. I appreciate what you guys both do out there, especially, you know, Brad. It's awesome that you know, there's a voice that, you know, people like my wife and I actually have to be able to give you a call. You know, it's taken a lot of courage for me to be able to actually dial this number after listening for, you know, for months now, you know, pretty much daily. And so, and, you know, to let the people know, too, that January 6th, it was a peaceful gathering. It was a peaceful gathering. There's very few people that were doing anything that was inappropriate. Now, what we're seeing right now in California, what we're seeing right now in Seattle, here in Seattle, even.
Way worse.
Way worse. And it's the same, and it's the exact same players, and it's the exact same people that were doing the stuff down at January 6th. You can just look at it. When you see, it was two different types of people in those crowds. Well, here in Seattle and in California, it's one type of person out there right now. And
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it really is. Are you still homeless?
Right now, that's about to end for us, you know, and to be honest, you know, we are homeless, but we're a very blessed situation as far as as far as homelessness goes. It's about to be ended here soon. Thank you guys.
Okay, great.
Well, God, it's good. And if you have an address there, we'll send you out some books and DVDs. And again, we'll be praying that righteousness is brought forth. That's so important. Thanks for the call. And again, 8888 ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We have Richard on the line from Washington State. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
Hi. How may we
help? Yeah, I want to ask. It's James, Jesus' brother.
Yeah. That's right.
It is.
That's true.
Where in the Bible you can find that?
You can find that in the book of Jude. You find it mentioned there. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, speaking of Jesus. We find also where Jesus is speaking, and they came to Jesus in the crowd, and they said, Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside. And that's when Jesus responded and said, who is my mother, who are my brothers, but those that hear the word of God and do it. So, Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. There's some Christians who believe that Mary, was never sexually intimate with Joseph, and therefore Jesus couldn't have any brothers or sisters. But Scripture is very clear on that. Jesus did have brothers, and James actually played a very strong role in the church, Jesus' brother, after the resurrection. So it's very clear that's what the Word of God says. And you know, whenever there's a crossroads between denominational doctrine and tradition versus what the Bible clearly says, you always want to go with what the Bible clearly says. And you won't go wrong. But sometimes man throughout history can, through theology and change the theology, can distort things to be more what they want it to be. But Jesus definitely had siblings, and one of them was named James.
Yeah, you can find more information on that. Mark 6:3 as an example, and it talks about Jude there. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. You have another question?
No, that's all I need.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I want to thank you. And if you like, stay on the line. I'll send you out some books and DVDs. Great to read, great to share with your friends, especially non-believers, those ones that are often so hard sometimes to witness to. Stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Richard, thanks so much for the call. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, we have Lawrence on the line, Dallas, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike. Hello,
hi.
Mike. Pastor Mike, this is the first time calling. I had a question. I really enjoy y'all's program. Y'all are teaching really sound doctrine. Y'all are teaching the Bible right. Y'all are the every man an answer. But I had a question concerning the dead in Christ. In Thessalonians, when it said the Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. My question, my take on that is when the Lord returns with the saints, he will reunite the saints that's going to be with the Lord, that's in the Lord. He will reunite the saints with the bodies that's in the grave. What is your take?
Yeah, they're going to get a new body. Your body right now does not go to heaven. Why? Because it's under the curse. And that's why our bodies wear out. By the time of King David, our life expectancy was around 70 years. Now there are people that live longer than 70, but, let me tell you, you feel it, believe me. But before the flood, man lived to be almost 1,000 years old. So we realized that man's longevity was cut short, but we're going to get a new body that isn't under the curse. And that's when the dead in Christ rise, their spirit, which is with the Lord, reunites with a brand new body that doesn't break down, not under the curse, never gets old. And then those that are alive and remain are transformed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and we all go up to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be a great day, especially when you get a brand new body, eh? Now, Lawrence, was there more to your question?
That was it. I thought you answered that biblically exactly right, and I thought I was right, and that's good. I just wanted to get that information. Thank you.
Yeah, and like I tell people, you always want to go for your proof text on these things, because you have the idea of soul sleep and these different things, and this is why we really need to be able to defend God's word correctly, because again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And again, when we find that in Kings as well as in the Gospels concerning Jairus's daughter, her spirit returned to her. It does not say it woke up inside of her. And I think that's really important. Brad, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think that was well said. Once again, we go back to God's word. And we have the assurances of God's word. You know, we will definitely have a new body, and it will be very different, and will not have the curse. And we can take God at His word in that promise. And it's really great that we don't have to speculate. There's so much a promise that God has given us in His word with great clarity. There's some things we don't understand, and we can't with our dimension and necessarily understand everything or how things are going to be. But he gives us so much clarity and so much promise that we as Christians can walk confidently as we move closer and closer to the time that we're with the Lord.
So I hope that helps. You can find out more about that if you go to Mark 5:21 through verse 43. Gives a story about that to prove that it is not soul sleep, but it is actually, as the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Lawrence, you got any other questions?
Well, that's it. You all always give a biblical answer, and that's what's so important and what's so good about our Christian faith, that we have to point people to the Bible when they try to, I guess, debate it or argue with it. I don't argue with the Bible. I may discuss it, but I will not argue over God's word. And anything I can't answer right off, I will tell them if they're not receiving it. I said, well, you can pray and get on your knees and pray and ask God. I said, he can explain his word to you better than I can, because he's the author. But that's all.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, Lawrence, is that the Bible, I don't believe personally, when you look at it, it's hard to understand. I'm a very logical kind of guy. When I see the logic in the Bible, I see that we're sinners by nature. I don't disagree with that. If you've been around little children, you can have a whole room full of toys, and one will pick up one toy, and then they all want that same one. Now, you don't have to go to your little kids and say, okay, now today I'm going to teach you how to lie. Now when somebody says something, you say the opposite. No, we know how to lie by nature. Sinning doesn't make us a sinner. Sinning proves what we are. And that's why we need a new body that is not prone to sin, that has not been corrupted. And so we all look forward to being delivered. Brad, any last thoughts on that?
Yeah. If people want to know about their sinful nature, just have a child and just have a child. And when you hear them use the word mine, grab mine. I don't know how many times a little 2-year-old says the word mine. We don't have to learn to be sinners. That's no problem there. We need to learn about transformation, redemption, forgiveness, and repentance.
Amen. Amen. Lawrence, stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs. Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you. And they're great for, if you need more, just let me know. We'll send them out to you. Let's go to Mike, Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How may we
help? Doing great. Hey, that caller that just called about Jesus and James being Jesus' brother. I just want to add one more to that. Matthew 13:55, it says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph, Simon and Judah? That's a pretty clear verse on that.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And the idea of the perpetual virginity of Mary is absolutely a lie. That is not true.
Right.
And this is where the Word of God prevails over outrageous doctrines of any organization or any church. So we're not here to defend church dogma. We're here to tell people what God's Word says. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. When in doubt, go to the Word. We should never, at the end of the day, rely on what our pastor says or our priest. We need to rely on what the Word of God says. And hopefully, we're a part of a church that preaches from the Word, like Calvary Chapels and churches like that, that put the Word of God above the traditions or rituals or legends of man. That's very important, because the Word of God is we can bank on. Legends and doctrines of man, those can be very problematic, as you just pointed out so well. So that was a great verse, and I like that. That was great.
Amen. I hope that I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah. Hey, it's exciting times we live in. Looking forward to. I like your line, the upper taker. That's a good one.
Hey, boy, I'll tell you, I think it's getting close. I tell everybody when I see him now, I just say, if you're going to do something for God, do it. We don't know how long we're going to be here. I don't know how long the world's going to hold together. I mean, we know the world's not going to end. Please, everybody understand that. There's a judgment of God on this world and dealing with the nation of Israel, a final 7-year period of time before Jesus sets up his 1,000-year reign here on this earth. But until that time comes, we're to be salt and we're to be light. Now, salt and light requires you to shine and to be tasteful. And I really believe that, again, in a world that's lost all of its taste, I believe in a world that's lost all of its light, we get shinier and tastier as the days go by. Brad, any last thoughts?
As people look at what's happening in the Middle East and with Israel, I just want to encourage people, do not be anxious or fearful.
Amen. Amen.
No reason for that. Like you point out, Pastor Mike, we've got the promises of God's word. We have the assurance of the final outcome. He won't leave us or abandon us. He knows each and every one of us, to those who surrender their lives to Jesus. And folks, if you haven't done that, now's a great time to do that, to finally surrender your life to Christ. Let him be Lord of your life and receive his full forgiveness through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross.
Yeah, just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as Savior. Your blood covered my sins on the cross. Now write my name in your book of life so I may live with you forever. That's how simple it is. He didn't make it hard.
Right.
But I want to encourage you, today is the appointed day of salvation. Brad, thanks so much for being on. Stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. Until then, may the Lord keep you in his love.
Have a safe
weekend.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.